Welcome to Lancashire Fire and Rescue's first podcast series, Out of the Ashes, Stories from Lancashire. In this episode, we'll be talking to Paul O'Brien, who had a serious house fire back in 2021. Paul's house fire was started by a disposable barbecue which had been placed in a wheelie bin after use. In the early hours of the following day, the ashes, which had continued to smoulder, reignited and the fire spread from the bin to the fence, his car and his house. We attend almost 100 fires a year involving barbecues, and the waste from these items can remain hot enough to cause a fire for far longer than people realise. The safe disposal of hot waste is extremely important. If in any doubt, douse with water or tip it into a metal container in a safe place and ensure the contents are fully extinguished before ultimately disposing of it. Paul, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Good. Do you want to first describe to the listeners like what was happening on the day of your incident?
Sure. It was when England were in the World Cup and we were playing Russia and it was midday. So some friends of mine came around for a barbecue. So we had a little disposable barbecue, and during halftime of the football game, about 1 o'clock, we put some burgers on the barbecue. So we finished the burgers, we had them watch the football, and the barbecue was out for about 1:30 in the afternoon. After our friends went home, so the kids come back from playing, we played in the garden, and then about 11 o'clock at night, we packed away all the garden, put the rubbish in the bins. I picked up the disposable barbecue, which had been out since 2 o'clock, so like 8 hours ago. Just picked up my hands, it was freezing cold.
Yeah.
And put it in the bin, like we've done hundreds of times before. Packed up the garden, went in, watched a bit of TV till about 12, went to bed. And that was a standard, normal day.
What was the weather like on that day? Can you remember if it was hot?
Lovely day. It was a really nice warm day. The kids were playing in the hot tub. The windows were open at night where it was so warm.
So, like, as you've gone to bed, mm-hmm. what happened from that point? Did the smoke alarm go off? Because, like we said, it spread.
It was odd. We went to bed about midnight. And then at 5 in the morning, we just heard banging on the front door. I was like, what the hell was that? So then we sat up, and as my girlfriend opened her eyes, she started screaming. And I was like, what's going on? And the whole house was orange. Looking out of our bedroom, you see the two kids' bedrooms, and it was just bright orange. And it was, what is going on? And you could hear this crackling noise, which was just wood cracking. So we woke up and were just screaming. So she got up and said, there's a fire. So she jumped up. She ran in and got the youngest, a two-year-old, went and grabbed him. I went into the eight-year-old's bedroom, grabbed him, and it was warm. Yeah. The noise was so loud, a crackling, and the colour was just bright orange. So what happened was the conservatory at the back was on fire, and the fire was going past the bedroom windows, up into the eaves of the roof, and into the roof. So literally the fire wasn't in that. There's no smoke alarms going off because the fire was outside of the house and in the roof.
Right.
So there was, all we could hear was a crackling noise. Huh. Yeah, so the smoke alarms at that point hadn't activated.
Did they activate at all during the
ran out, straight down the stairs, went to the front door, and it was locked. So then my girlfriend had to run into the kitchen to get the key, which was on the kitchen table, and then she saw all the kitchen on fire, and then we were like, wow. So then as we ran out the front door opened, big gust of wind come in, flames went through, and then smoke alarms stopped to go off as all the fire alarms were going off as we were at the front door, and then they were all going off. Because we opened the front door, the oxygen came in, and the fire just went whoosh, and the smoke just went and engulfed the house.
So at that point is when it spread internally in the house?
Yeah. So retrospect now, if we were to close the doors, we might save half of the house. But at that point, you just want to get out.
Yeah, you partner and your kids are the priority for safety to get out.
Yeah, so then we got them out, and then next door, it affected next door as well. So then we had to bang on next door and get her out of the house. So she come out of the house as well, like, what's going on?
Are they attached at the roof?
Yeah, so it's like somebody's attached, so the two houses were attached, and our roof was up, so then her roof, it spread into her roof. So it was quite a big deal there.
Yeah, so when you were outside of the house, obviously, it was really good that you got out so quickly and there was no problems on your escape route.
No, well, only the front door was locked, which we never locked the front door. We locked the front door, but always had to leave the key
nearby
next to the door. So if anyone's got a door that locks, always make sure you've got a key by the front door if you need to get out quickly, because we had to run back into the kitchen to get the key to then go back out and open the front door.
So once you were outside, what did your house look like, if you can describe it?
It was orange. You could see through the windows, and the back was just up. And then we got a driveway. So when I walked to the driveway, my little car was up on fire, were melting. The fence, it was just bright orange, and the noise of crackling wood was intense, and just smoke, thick, thick smoke. And it felt like we were there for an hour, just stood at the front, when in reality it was like three or four minutes.
And did you ring the fire service, or did someone else?
Well, one of the neighbours saw the bin on fire and phoned up and said it was a bin fire.
Right.
So it was just a small fire. So when they turned up, they just presumed it was a small bin fire. And as they would, because I've chatted to some of the guys since, and as they were driving, they just saw this huge smoke, thick smoke, and went, this isn't a bin fire, this is bigger. So then extra appliances were deployed to help out.
Yeah, I think four fire engines were there, and the area ladder platform, because it was spreading to the roof. So, like you say, that's not a normal small bin fire. No, but it's quite a large response.
It felt like such a long time, but in reality it was 3 or 4 minutes from when we phoned up, when the neighbours phoned up. We phoned up again, and they were there. So yeah, just super fast.
Could you talk a little bit more about the challenges about when you were stood there? What was going through your brain about, like, what do we need to do next?
We were stood there, and it felt like an hour, and stood there and you're helpless.
And at that point the crews were, I'm assuming, there, ready to deploy.
Yeah, they turned up and just stand back, and off they just went and did what they did. Yeah.
You're very lucky for all of you to have escaped and be safe. Obviously the incident's very traumatic, but to be out and safe and no one be trapped in that incident.
Absolutely, it was. We got out. Yeah, we lost all of our possessions. We probably lost like 95% of possessions. So like photos and memories and just all kids' toys, clothes, all of that just went covered in smoke and fire. That went, but we got out, and that was pretty good, pretty decent. We got out. So that was the main thing. So we're all good, we're all safe.
Yeah.
It's all good.
That's amazing. I just want to touch upon the risks of disposable barbecues. Were you aware of them before the incident?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we go camping quite a lot, so we always take disposable barbecues with us. We've used them loads of times because they're cheap, they're easy. You don't have to clean the barbecue after. So we always use disposable barbecues. Didn't do anything different this time to what we've always done before. We cook on them. After a few, an hour or two, they stop cooking. The heat goes out of them. So you leave them, and then you put them in the bin when it's cold, not realising
that it can still smoulder.
It can still smoulder for 24 hours later, which was shocking for me because I had no idea. We've used them loads of times before.
But never knew that they could be so hot for so long.
No, it wasn't until after when you realised how it happened. We didn't even know how it happened. We thought it was an electrical fault, or we had no idea. It wasn't until they investigated and said it was the barbecue. We were just shocked because we thought, how can a barbecue that was out 2 o'clock in the afternoon start a fire at 4 or 5 a.m. the next day?
And when it was in the bin?
Yeah.
Because it's just spread, didn't it?
It was in the bin. The lid was closed. So you just think, how can that cause all this damage?
And now, after the incident, have you touched a disposable barbecue again, or...?
We've not even had a gas barbecue. No. So we've gone away and we've not had any disposable barbecues. It's just not on the agenda. You don't realise how dangerous they are. And I would say to anybody, just be careful. Douse it in water and then douse it again and then just submerge it in water, because we had no idea how long the cold retained heat. And, yeah.
Okay. So we'll move on to, what happened after the incident. How long were you in temporary housing for? What was the situation? How did that happen?
The insurance company turned up in the morning, and they've been amazing. They've been so good. So they got us accommodation. We stayed at my girlfriend's parents' house for 2 weeks initially, and then they got us a house in St Anne's, which is about 4 or 5 miles away from the house because there wasn't anything available. So we're told we'll be there for about 9 months to a year. And unfortunately, we had some issues with the builders. Then we had new builders start, and they've been amazing. So in total, it's been 2 years since the fire until we moved back home. So yeah, just over 2 years we've been out of the house. So we moved back this week.
And how was that?
Amazing.
Does it feel strange to be back in the house after such a long time?
Yeah. We've changed the kids' rooms around a lot, and we've knocked a wall down downstairs, so the house looks different. So it's not the same. When they went back, they weren't in the same bedrooms.
Your little ones.
Yes, yeah, so we swapped their rooms over and just turned it around a bit and decorated totally different. But even now, like the other night, I was in bed, and you just look out, you look through the door, and you see the kids' bedrooms. You have a little bit of a flashback. So that was a bit odd. I've not had that before, so that was a bit weird. But I'm sure that'd be okay eventually. That was just a bit.
Over time, it was probably because you're back in the same surroundings and not knowing what to do.
But the kids look as if they're good with it. They're cool. They're over it, which is amazing.
So do you want to touch upon about how it affected yourself, your girlfriend, your children, like emotionally? How did they cope with it at the time? Because obviously they were so little.
Yeah, my eldest was 8 and the youngest was 2. So it was quite hard on them because they lost everything. So their toys, their clothes, everything that they had was gone. So obviously when you're 2 years old, you have a little security blanket, you have security toys. He didn't have anything, his blanket, he didn't have anything. So we had to literally start from scratch, just buy everything again. And then he was asking for his toys and we were like, well, we've got you new toys. He said, no, but I want my old toys. So that was hard to explain to him that those toys had gone.
Yeah.
So we were giving them to another boy that needs them. You've got these new toys now. So that was a bit difficult. The 8-year-old was a bit quiet for a while and a bit reserved, but he's come out of his shell a few months after.
Right.
So he's 10 now and he's doing great. The 4-year-old is doing great as well. So I think that time period of 2 years worked in our favour.
Yeah, it's quite a long time for them to process the incident and then to go back to the house. It's a long period of, like you say, development and growth.
Yeah, so in a way it was a pain because we weren't home for 2 years. But for the kids' mental health, it was probably a good thing that they wouldn't rush back in again. They got time to build new memories and then go back and, brand new house.
I was going to say, and probably if it doesn't look the same to them inside, will help realise it's a new home and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, when we first went in there, all the carpets were in there, the walls were just white, it was a brand new house. So the kids went in there and they were just screaming with delight because it was a brand new big, big house with carpet, no beds or anything in there.
Oh,
and
I bet they thought it was a big play area.
They loved it. So we're like, this is your room, this is your house. And they were dead excited about it. So the other side we've come at is, it's good, it's good. The kids are enjoying it and it's...
Because you'll never forget that experience, will you, now that you've seen them so excited to be back?
No, that's what we're focused on. So hopefully the memories of the fire will fade quite a bit now and the new memories they'll make in the house will be good.
So knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently back in 2021?
Probably the disposable barbecue was just... You think you've done it right. You think you're responsible. When I was 45 at the time, you think you know how to fire a barbecue. You think you've done the right thing. You think the barbecue's been out for 10 hours and you put it in the bin, you think that's fine. So we've obviously not had a barbecue since. But if we were to have a disposable barbecue or friends have disposable barbecues, you would say, put it in a bucket of water and just leave it. Leave it for a day.
As long as possible.
Just leave. If it doesn't need to be put in the bin, just leave it for a day. Let it just soak. Make sure everything's out. Anything with hot coals, like fire pits, disposable barbecues, anything with coals, put water on it and make sure that they're out. Because we thought we did. I thought they were out and they weren't. And we lost everything because of it. So that's the big thing that I would say is for anything with hot coals, hot barbecues, fire pits, disposable barbecues, douse it in water.
Yeah, make sure it's completely out before moving it.
Don't guess, because I picked mine up and it was cold. The actual tray was cold.
Cold to touch.
Yeah, so I picked it up. And you shake it up, put it in the bin. We've done hundreds of times before. And there was obviously one little rogue ember in there that wasn't out.
It just smouldered and spread from a bin to your fence.
Hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of damage just for this £2 barbecue.
It's not worth it, is it?
No, so have a picnic.
Pack a picnic.
Pack a picnic.
So moving on from that. Like, it's very good that you were safe, you've moved back into your house, you're making new memories with the children.
Yeah.
The very unique story to yours is that you've now are one of our on-call firefighters at Lytham. On-call firefighters respond to emergencies in their communities from either home or work. How does it feel to be part of the service?
It feels good. It feels as if I'm giving something back after what happened. I did apply actually before the fire. I applied a couple of years before. Obviously, we had the youngest, so I paused the recruitment. And then during the recruitment process, the fire happened. But then because we had to move house, I wasn't able to continue with the recruitment because I wasn't in the area near the station. Did the course and then had to wait until I could actually start at the station before we moved back to Lytham, which was a year later. So I got to a point where I just thought, do I just give up? Do I just say, I'm done with this? But then I thought what had happened, I just thought, you know, I can't give up now. So I continued, and then a year later, did the recruits course, got in, and been at Lytham Fire Station for a year and a half now. And it's, I've been to a few house fires since.
Yeah.
So that was quite odd, actually being on the other side of it. We turned up to this house fire, and obviously the roof was on fire, and we turned up and we thought, right, this is it. So as we're in the house fire, the smell, the noise, the crackling noise, it was just a huge flashback of when it was my house fire. And I was the other side, I was a firefighter that day. So that was a few seconds of, you know, take a deep breath, this is what we're here for. So yeah, that was very odd, the first one. But then since then, you just get on with it, you just do the job.
And does it feel good to try and help other people where you know how it feels?
Yeah, I was chatting to the lady whose house fire it was, and I could, you know, I pulled her to one side and said, I can relate to this. I know what you're going through. I was in this situation a year ago, so it is going to be all right. Yeah, she gave me a big hug, and I've spoken to her since. And she's like, your words that day were so comforting, saying that there is, you know, it does get better. Because she lost everything as well. And I say, it does get better. Right now, it's hard. But every day, it does get easier. It's a cliche, but every day gets easier.
It's a cliche until you've been through it yourself. Yeah. And you know exactly how that feels. To that woman, those words will have meant the world.
Yeah, exactly that. And so it was nice providing a bit of comfort to someone that you've been through the same situation as them, and you can say, you will get through this.
So what's your most favourite bit about being an on-call firefighter?
It's when you turn up to a job, you're alert to go, you're at home doing cooking, or you're watching TV, or you're doing work, and your alert goes off. You have no idea what you're walking into. So then you get to the station, you get the sheet and it says what we're going to. You know, it could be a car crash, it could be a house fire, it could be someone stuck in a swing, you know, it could be anything. So you get there and then you get on the pump, you get changed, you go into the incident, and in your mind you think, like, what do we need to do? And we get there and we make whatever situation that is better. We do what we can. You know, you get people out of a burning house, you make safe a car that's on its side, you rescue someone from a swing, you cut them out of a swing. You know, there's all these things that you do the job, you do it well, and then you get back in the pump, you go home, and then you continue with what you were doing. And you know you've made a big difference. Someone's dialed 999 for a reason. You've gone out, you've done what you need to do, and you've gone home. You carry on as normal. But to that person, you've just saved them in a way. So yeah, so that's... takes some getting used to that, because you just go back to your normal life then. You go back to your normal job. Yeah, that person is just, you've cut them out of a car and you sent them to, you get them to paramedics.
Yeah.
So you've helped people and then you just go back to your normal job.
I think you've just described a perfect reason to why we have on-call firefighters in Lancashire.
Yeah.
Like, it is helping the community, it's giving back, helping those people when they need you most.
Yeah. If someone dials 999, that's for a reason. That's, they need help. And all the firefighters around, as soon as that alert goes off, you just switch into a different mode and you just go, right, it's like a switch just happens and you're there, your adrenaline's pumping, and you go for it.
How were your little ones with you being a firefighter?
I'm not going to lie, they do enjoy it. They do like it, and when the alert goes off, Like, my little boy runs around, like, Dad, your alert is going off. I'm like, yeah, I'm just getting dressed now, pal. So when it goes off, because it's pretty loud, and they get excited. When I get back, they're like, what happened? They get really excited about it, and they want to know what happened. And when they see the fire engines go past, they're like, oh, Daddy, that's Daddy's work.
Oh, that's really lovely to hear.
Yeah, so we've done a few school visits, like health safety visits at the school. So when we've gone there, my little boy, because he's like, oh, it's my daddy. So he's dead proud. So that's kind of, that's nice. Your little warm feeling there. So, yeah.
It's nice to hear that you have such a positive relationship with it after the fire.
Yeah.
That, you know, you could have had some mental, you know, emotional issues, but to say that they're proud of you, that's...
Probably do somewhere, but...
but if they're proud of you and they like seeing the fire engines, that's...
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So I think we can come to an end. What is the biggest takeaway you want people that are listening today to take?
It's to really raise awareness of disposable barbecues. And I've said this many times to a lot of friends already, is if you're going to have a disposable barbecue, keep it safe. Don't put it on grass, because the grass will catch fire. We lived in Green a couple of years ago, someone put a disposable barbecue on the grass and it all went up. So if you are going to use a disposable barbecue, use it safely. And when you finish with it, douse it with water, keep it doused with water, and just keep it doused with water for a day. Don't take a risk. And just be aware that those things stay hot for a long, long time. I thought I knew how long they stayed hot for. I was wrong. They stay hot for a long time. So submerge it in water. Keep it in water for as long as you can.
Thank you for taking the time to share your story today. Remember to take extra care when using barbecues. Always keep a bucket of water or garden hose nearby in case of emergency, because you'll never know when you might need it. And please ensure that the fire is fully extinguished and cold before discarding a disposable barbecue. For more information about barbecues, please head to our website on www.lancsfirerescue.org.uk/BBQ. And if you'd like to know more about becoming an on-call firefighter, visit lancsfirerescue.org.uk/on-call. Both website links will be in our episode notes. And remember, if you liked our episode, please like and subscribe, and let's make Lancashire safer together.